The title of the message this morning is God's End Purpose. God's End Purpose. And by that little thought, I'm asking the question this morning, what is God's end purpose? In other words, what is God trying to accomplish? What is God's desired end? What does God want to accomplish? And I have just a few things written here on this piece of paper that I believe I want to share with you or show you what is God's end purpose in these few areas. Let's have a word of prayer together and ask God to speak to our hearts. Father, I thank you so much for this book that I get to hold today and read and share. I believe with all my heart that the Bible is the Word of God. And Lord, you've given it to us as a book that helps to show us your purpose for our life. And Lord, I pray that as we study a few thoughts this morning, that you would use them to speak to us, challenge us, change us. May our lives be such that brings joy to you and brings pleasure to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. What is God trying to accomplish? What is God's end purpose? I'll tell it to you right now. It's two thoughts, and you could say, oh, yeah, hear it and ready to go, but we'll expound on it a little bit. But what is God trying to accomplish? What's his end purpose? In the things that God does, I believe it's these two things, very simply. It's for our good and for his glory. It's for our good and for his glory. Now, we sometimes in life, we think we know what's good for our lives, but I believe that God is truly the one who knows what's best for our lives. He knows what's good for our lives. And I want to show you this morning in just a few examples that it's always God's desire, what God is always trying to accomplish, what he wants to do in our lives, it's for our good and it's for his glory. It's for his glory. You see something this morning? God didn't make us for ourselves. God made us for him, didn't he? He made us for him. Look with me at Psalm chapter 30. Psalm chapter number 30. And we're going to read a few verses here in that chapter. Psalm chapter 30, beginning in verse number 1. Psalm 30 and verse 1. It says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. I'll extol thee. I'll praise thee, in other words. For thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Down in verse number 4 it says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Again, it involves praising him. It involves glorifying him, thanking him. And then go down to verse number 12. It says, To the end. In other words, for this purpose, for this cause, for this reason. In other words, here's what God's trying to accomplish. It's to this end. It's for this reason. Here's what God wants to accomplish. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. The psalmist was somebody who understood that everything that God was trying to accomplish in his life, it was for his own good, and it was for God's glory. It was for God's glory. There's nothing that God's trying to work at in our life that it's because God wants us to be glorified. No, God wants all the glory for himself. And God is also, he's not up there in heaven thinking, what can I do to ruin Colin's life? You know, what can I do to ruin Chloe's life? I want to make her miserable. No, God has something for your life that is far better than anything you want. Far better than you could ever imagine. Listen, what God has for our life and what God wants to try to accomplish in your life through his word and through the Holy Spirit and through the circumstances of life, through the trials of life, through your prayer life, God wants to bring good into your life. Sometimes people think like, good night. The pastor's crazy. If I do the things he tells me to do, if I want to follow God like that or choose to be a Christian like that, God's going to just make my life miserable. It's so uncool to be a Christian. It's so uncool to be faithful to God. That's silliness. Chloe, what God wants to do in your life is for your good. It's for your good, but it's also all for His glory. It's for His glory. My first thought to this morning is this. What is God trying to accomplish, or what's His end purpose in our life? In our life. God's end purpose in our life is to bring good into our life, to do good in our life, to make our life good, but also for Him to be glorified. For Him to be glorified. Look with me over at Revelation chapter 4. If you can keep a marker in Psalm 30, we're going to come back there later. But over in Revelation chapter number 4, very last book of the Bible, it says this, Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. It says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Do you know why God made us? For His own pleasure. For His own glory. Sometimes people think life is about pleasing me. Life's about having a good time. Life is just about my own glory and my own success. No, God made you for Himself. God made you, Eric. God made me for His glory, for God's glory. Now, God made you and loves you, so you can trust Him that whatever He wants to accomplish in your life, whatever He wants you to do, it's always going to be for your own good. Your life will always be better if you will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll always be better if you obey His word. What He wants to do in your life, what He may call you to do, what He asks you to do, things the Bible tells you to do. Listen, what God wants to bring into your life as far as happiness and joy and success and fulfillment and purpose, it's all going to be for your good. I've found myself telling many people lately, whether I've been witnessing to them or on the street or in somebody's house, to tell them that, listen, my life is so much good and so much better than so many people I see in the world only because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because the life that I can live as a Christian, the life that God has for me, it's so much better. And I think if we'll all be honest, we know that the Christian life is a good life and it's a better life than anything else that other people out there have. Listen, what God wants to do in my life, what God wants to give me, it's for my good. But yet it's also all about His glory. God wants our lives to glorify Him. Look with me at Colossians chapter 1. In the New Testament, still Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 16. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 16. It says, For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and, what's the next two words? For Him. For Him. All things were created by Him and for Him. Do you know why you were created? You were created for Him. You were created for God. You were created to bring pleasure to Him. You were created to glorify Him. Listen, your life is not about you. My life is not to be about me. My life is to be about pleasing God. My life is to be about glorifying God. What's the end purpose? What's God trying to accomplish? Why did God give you life? Why were you born into this world on such and such? Why have you lived all these years? Because God wants your life to glorify Him and to please Him. That's the end purpose. That's the desire. That's the purpose for your life. What is God's end purpose? What's God trying to accomplish? Well, God's end purpose for our life is our good and His glory. Our good and His glory. Turn with me back to Deuteronomy chapter 17. In the Old Testament, go back to the very beginning, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter number 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17, and we're going to begin reading there in verse number 18. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 18. It says there, And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law, the word of God, I'll write a copy of this law, in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. Isn't it interesting? Reading the Word of God all the days of his life. Not just, okay, well, it's good for him when he's little. No, or it's good for him when he's old, but all the days of his life. Isn't it going to be good for our children to learn to read the Word of God? Wouldn't it be good for teenagers to read the Word of God? Wouldn't it be good for senior saints to keep on reading the Word of God so that we might learn to fear him? Hey, we ought to spend time in God's Word. What's God's end purpose for Bible reading? Well, we're getting there. Verse number 19, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left, for this cause, for this purpose, for this reason. Here's what God's trying to accomplish, to the end. That he might prolong his days in the kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Do you know what God's end purpose is for Bible reading? It's our good and his glory. Our good and his glory. God's end purpose in you reading your Bible, what God wants to try to accomplish by you reading your Bible and spending time daily in the Word of God, God wants it to be for our good. Because as we learn his ways and we obey him and we follow him, our lives will be blessed, our lives will be better, our lives will be good. God's end purpose, the reason why you ought to read your Bible, is because it's going to be for your good. God wants to bring about good into your life. But it's also for his glory. It's for his glory. It's for his glory that we would read the Word of God and we'd meditate on scriptures and we'd learn to do what God asks us to do, that our lives might be pleasing to him and glorifying to him. Listen, God's end purpose for your Bible reading is that it would be for your good, to make your life good and your life blessed and your life better, but also for his glory. For his glory. Hey, what's the end purpose this morning? Two simple things I want you to remember. Two things. What's God's end purpose? What's God trying to accomplish? It's all for our good and for his glory. Can you say that with me? What's God trying to accomplish? It's all for our good and for his glory. It's for our and for his glory. A little bit louder. It's for our and for his. It's for our and for his glory. You got it. Are you done now? Okay, I'm not done. Here, let's give you another example. Okay? Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verses 7 and 8. Joshua chapter 1 and verses 7 and 8. I apologize if I go too fast to some of these verses, but here we go. Joshua 1 verses 7 and 8. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Hey, that sounds like it's for our good, doesn't it? God says, you meditate on the scriptures, you follow the word of God, you're going to prosper. You're going to prosper. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Hey, that sounds like it's for our good. It's for our good for you to pick up your Bible on Monday and read it. It's for your good for you to pick up your Bible on Monday evening and read some of it and meditate on the scriptures, to apply it to your life, to do what it says. It's for our good. Do you want to prosper? Do you want to be a good success? Hey, what is God trying to accomplish? Why is he trying to get you to read your Bible? Why does he want you to read the Word of God? For our good. For your good. For my good. But it's also for his glory. Turn with me over to the New Testament, to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. The way my Bible's laid out, it's going to be page 1281. Not sure if that helps you. Here we go. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. It says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. We like profit, don't we? Well, the Bible is profitable in our lives. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God is good for us. Reading God's Word is good for us. What is God trying to accomplish when He says, hey, meditate on the Scriptures. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Read your Bible. What is God trying to accomplish? What's God's end purpose? It's for our good and for His own glory. Wouldn't it be for His glory if we start following the Scriptures and obeying God and live lives that are pleasing to Him? Oh, that will glorify God then, won't it? So it's both for His glory, but yet it's also for His good, because as we do it, He will make us a good success. He will bless our life. He will make us more prosperous. He'll make your marriage better and your home better and your family life better. He'll make you more successful in all the areas of life. Because I promise you, when you learn the principles of the Word of God and the Scriptures of the Bible, and you begin to live by them in your life, you'll be more successful. You'll be more blessed. You'll have more joy. What's the end purpose? What's God's end purpose in our lives? Well, it's our good in His glory. What's God's end purpose for our Bible reading? Well, it's our good, and His glory. His glory. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 30. Psalm chapter 30 again. Psalm 30, and we'll go there once, and then we'll go there one more time later. Psalm chapter 30. And begin looking there in verse number 4. Psalm chapter 30 and verse 4. It says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. He's a holy God. Verse 5 says, for His anger endureth but a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And then verse 12, to the end, that my glory may sing praise to Thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I'll give Thee thanks. I'll give thanks unto Thee forever. Let me give you a third thought here. God's end purpose in chastening us. God's end purpose in chastening us. It said in verse 5, or verse 4, He's a holy God, right? Verse 5, His anger endureth but a moment. Punishment sometimes is hard. Chastening, being corrected by God. But it says in His favor is life. Life. It always makes things so much better when a child has done wrong and they are corrected and they get things right with mom or dad. And then there's peace, and there's no hiding anything. See, chastening is for our good. Weeping may endure for a night. Oh, weeping may endure for a time when chastening comes, but joy cometh. Joy cometh. What is God's end purpose in chastening us? Turn with me over to the New Testament, to Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. In the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. What is God trying to accomplish? What is God's end purpose? What's God's end purpose in our life? It's our good and His glory. What's God's end purpose for our Bible reading? It's our good and His glory. What's God's end purpose in chastening us? Can I tell you honestly? It's our good and His glory. We might wonder, what? Being corrected? Being chastened? Being punished? How can that be good? That's painful. But God says it's for our good. It's for our good. Just like chastening is good for our children. Oh, in the moment they may not like it, but it's good for them. Look at what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. It says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Don't despise it. Don't run from it. Don't be upset at it. Nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. He's a loving Father. He's a loving God. And because He loves us, that's why He chastens us. You have to love your children a lot to chasten them. You have to love your children a lot to correct them. You do. It takes a lot of love to do that. It's a whole lot easier to say, oh, I don't want to be bothered. Just let them do whatever they want. I don't got time to correct them. I'm busy. I'm doing my thing. I'm surfing the internet. I've got this project I've got to finish. I'm busy cooking dinner. I don't got time to correct them. That's a nuisance. That's a bother. No, it takes a lot of love because it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort to correct our children. It can take a chunk out of our time that we'd like to do something for us, but to take our time and spend time with our children to properly correct them. It takes so much love to do that. God says, whom He loveth, He chasteneth. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof ye are all partakers, then are ye bastards, illegitimate children is what that is, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, talking about our earthly parents, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, for our good, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now every child would agree to this right here, verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Oh, we were out and Dad said, you're going to get it when you get home. Oh, Dad forgot. We go home and Dad forgot. Dad forgot about punishing me. Woohoo! No chastening for the present seemeth joyous. But you know what the Bible says? But grievous. But grievous. It's actually grievous. To not be chastened, to not be punished, to not be corrected, it's actually worse for us. And all I will say is look at the difference between children who are chastened and corrected and loved enough to be chastened by their parents and children who never get any discipline and never get corrected, and look at the spoiled brats that they many times are. Look at how we have a generation that has learned how to disrespect their parents and curse their parents and talk back to their parents. Look at a generation where sometimes young people even raise up in arms or raise up in violence to hurt their parents. Look at a generation where people sometimes, where parents will disrespect their parents and not look at their parents or come up and slap their parents or hit their parents, abuse their parents. Hello? Let me tell you something. Chastening is for our good. It's for our good. And God says, when I chasten you, when I as a loving Heavenly Father, when I come into your life, my Christian, my child, and sometimes I correct you for something, I chasten you for something because you're going the wrong way, and I have to bring you back into line. I want you to live the way that I want you to live, the way the Word of God says. He says, it's for your good, it's for your profit, because in the end, it'll make your life more blessed, more joyful. It's for our good. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but in reality, it's grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Chastening will actually be for our profit. It'll be for our good. It can lead to holiness. It can lead to a better life. And ultimately, that leads to a life that will be more blessed by God, better for us, good for us, but what? More glorifying to God. More glorifying to God. In the same way, if we want our children to rise up and call us blessed, if we want children who don't bring shame to parents, but who will end up glorifying their parents or honoring their parents, chastening is necessary. And God says, listen, chastening is necessary in your life. Sometimes I, as God, as a loving Heavenly Father, because I care about you, because I want what is best for your life, I may have to chasten you sometimes. I may have to correct you, but it's for your good. And for His glory. For His glory. You help me now, okay? You respond with me. What is God's end purpose in our lives? It's for our good and for His glory. What's God's end purpose for our Bible reading? It's for our and for His. What's God's end purpose in chastening us? It's for our and for His. Here's another one real quick. Go back to Psalm chapter 30. Psalm chapter 30. What is God's end purpose in our trials? What is God's end? Oh, you already know. Wait a minute. You already know. What is God's end purpose in our trials? Psalm chapter 30. Psalm chapter 30, and look at the beginning, verse 1, Psalm 30, verse 1. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. In a time where the psalmist obviously had some enemies and some persecution against him and so on, but the Lord helped them, right? Verse 3, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down into the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Verse 6. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. Times where everything was great in life, and times where the psalmist maybe wondered, God, why are the clouds, you know, hiding your face from me? Why is the sun not shining on me? Sometimes it seems like everything's good, and sometimes I'm going through trials and difficult times in my life. Verse 8, I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? What good is it? What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, shall the dust praise thee, and it shall declare thy truth? Verse 10, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning, sorrowing, and so my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and ashes, and people many times in fasting and so on, it would go to a point of weeping and fasting and praying and so on. But he said, thou hast girded me with gladness. Why? To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee. What's God's end purpose in our trials? It's for our good and for his glory. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 1. Some of you people in our church know when you turn me loose with a piece of paper with not much on it and the Holy Ghost and the Bible, sometimes our messages are longer. But here we go. We're almost done. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Oh, this is so important. I hope you're getting it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice that now, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. It's talking there about testings. It's talking about trials and difficulties. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Why would God sometimes allow us to go through trials in our life? Well, it's for our good, but it's for his glory. If that trial is what refines us, if that fire is what purifies us, if that trial is what draws us closer to God, that will be for God's glory. For God's glory. God brings trials many times for our good and for his glory. For his glory. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, or I can quote it to you. Many of you are familiar with it once I quote it. Romans 8:28 says, we know all things, for we know all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. How is it that all things work together for our good? But yet it's according to his purpose, right? It's for his glory. Listen, when God brings you through a trial in your life, if you'll turn to God in the trial and find your strength from God in the trial and get closer to God in the trial and let God accomplish what he wants to accomplish, I guarantee you that every trial that he brings you through, it will be for your good. It'll make you a stronger Christian. It'll give you a stronger life. It'll help your life to be made better and more glorifying to God. Always in every trial that God brings. It's not because somehow God wants to hurt you. God doesn't let you go through a time of suffering or a time of loss or whatever because he wants to somehow ruin you. No. It's always for his good, for our good and for his glory. For our good and for his glory. Turn with me back to James chapter 1, just towards the end of your New Testament, back close to where Peter was. James and Peter stand side by side in the New Testament. Here we go. James chapter 1 and verses 2 to 4. James chapter 1 and verses 2 to 4. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy. Count it a joy when you fall into diverse temptations, the trials, the testings, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Don't we need more patience? But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, lacking nothing. God says it's for our good. It's for our good. What is God's end purpose in our trials? It's our good and His glory. Our good and His glory. Go back to Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. This is the very beginning of your Bible. Exodus chapter 8 and verse number 20. Exodus chapter 8 and verse number 20. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, let my people go that they may serve me." This is Moses down in Egypt, right? Going before Pharaoh, trying to get the people out of bondage and out of slavery in Egypt. It says, "Else if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send a swarms of flies upon thee and upon thy servants and upon thy people. And into thy houses and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell." Goshen was the area where the Jews got to live. It says that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I'll put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. What is God's end purpose in protecting and blessing His own people? What was God's end purpose in that story in protecting His own people and blessing His own people? Well, it was for their good, but also, remember, for His glory. God was going to bring these plagues upon Pharaoh and the people of Egypt, but yet He was going to protect His own people. Listen, in what He was going to do, it was going to be for their good, but ultimately for His glory. He wanted Egypt to know, hey, there is a God. There is a true God. Jehovah, He is the God. Not any of the gods that the Egyptians had, but Jehovah. You see, it was going to be about His glory, but also in what He did, it was for their good. For the good of His people. Turn to Luke chapter 18, and that's where we're going to finish. Luke chapter 18. The Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. Turn there with me. Be not weary in well-doing, okay? Luke chapter 18, look at the scriptures. Luke chapter 18 and verses 1 through 8. You help me review now real quick if you can. What is God trying to accomplish? What is God's end purpose in our life? It's for our and for His glory. What's God's end purpose in our Bible reading? It's for our and for His glory. What is God's end purpose in chastening us? It's for our and for His glory. What's God's end purpose in our trials? It's for our and for His. What's God's end purpose in protecting and blessing His own people? It's for our and for His. Now, what's God's end purpose in delaying the answer to our prayer? It's the last one. What's God's end purpose in delaying the answer to our prayer? When you pray and it seems like, well, wait a minute, the answer hasn't come. What's God doing? What's God's end purpose in delaying the answer to our prayer? Look what it says, Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. "And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Don't quit in prayer. Don't give up in prayer. We need to persist in prayer, don't we? Saying, "There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him," the judge, "saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not," the judge would not do so for a while. "But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry night, day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will not avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Here was this widow woman who she comes to the judge and says, would you just please take care of me? I've got these creditors. I've got these people that after me. And listen, my husband died. And I haven't had a way of having money. I have no husband to support me. Judge, would you somehow step in? Would you somehow intervene? I know I don't necessarily deserve it. I know we have these debts to pay, but I don't have a husband anymore. I'm all alone. I don't know what to do. Judge, would you please help me? And the judge in his mind thought, well, I don't, there's no reason why I should do this. But you know what the Bible says? That widow woman just kept coming. She was showing up to the judge's chambers, the judge's court every day. Wherever the judge was, the judge, you know, meeting in the gates of the city, she kept coming to the judge. Morning after morning, she showed up to see the judge. Every afternoon, when the judge was done with some other cases, she was there talking to him. I don't know if she tracked him down, found his home, whatever, but persistently, that widow woman just kept after the judge. And the Bible says that the judge, being so, you know, essentially impressed with her faith, impressed with her persistence, that's why he eventually gave the widow what she was requesting. That's why he answered her prayer request, if you will, because of her persistence. You know what God's end purpose may oftentimes be in delaying the answer to our prayer? Because he wants to see if we really have faith. He wants to see if we have faith to keep on asking, faith to keep on praying, faith to keep on begging, faith to keep on believing, faith to keep pleading with God to give the answer, to give us what we need in our life. You see, sometimes God's end purpose may be he wants to really see our faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. God wants to see our faith. Do we believe God enough that we'll be willing to be persistent in prayer, not giving up until the answer comes? You see, God's end purpose sometimes in delaying the answer to our prayer is not that, oh, he just wants to make us suffer a while. It may be that he wants to see our faith. He still perfectly intends to give us what is good for our life and what is needed in our life and what's best in our life. But he wants to see a demonstration of our faith. So what is God's end purpose in delaying the answer to our prayer? It's for our good and for his glory. For our good and for his glory. What does God want to accomplish in your life? Our good, his glory. What does God want to accomplish in your Bible reading? Our good and his glory. What does God want to accomplish through chastening? Our good, his glory. What does God want to accomplish through the trials that you may go through? Our good, his glory. Our good, his glory. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I ask you please to just help us to get this truth. Lord, understand what it is you want to accomplish in our life.